Easton.
The committee will come to order. This is the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection for Wednesday, April 6, 2011. Good morning, everyone. We do have a quorum present. And today, of course, is what we affectionately refer to as Liquor Day. Not because we have samples, but because we have a lot of legislation dealing with liquor regulation. And what I would like to do before we start on the first bill is just quickly outline what the plan is for today. As you know, we've missed some of our committee dates with floor sessions, so we've had to compress some things. And we are planning on meeting today now from 10:30 until noon today. Our hope is to get through the first five bills on the agenda. And then we will then reconvene at 5:30, and then we'll pick up with items number 6. And we expect to get through items 6 through 10 on the agenda tonight. So that is our plan for the day. And I will say that putting this agenda together was not an easy task. In fact, we've said that this has been more difficult trying to engineer all of these various bills and see which ones are coming together here. It was more difficult than putting our budget together. But we've done that so far, and I know Senator Roebling has probably one that's did not require a whole lot of time out of committee. But anyway, members, with that, let's go ahead and get started. And also, I should say that our plan is to hear the testimony on all of these. Certainly, if any member wants to make any amendments to any of these bills, we will be entertaining amendments. We'll be discussing them, hearing all the testimony. But at the end, we're going to lay them over for possible inclusion into the omnibus liquor bill. There is one exception to that, and that happens to be the second item on the agenda, which is Senate File 1076, the Senator Michelle bill dealing with the University of Minnesota TCF stadium. And that one, the Higher Education Committee has requested it. And so we're going to actually hear the testimony and vote on that. And should it pass, the motion will be to re-refer that to the Committee on Higher Education. And that one it'll be out of our hands either that way, or if it doesn't pass, that'll be it. But the other nine bills, the intention is to lay those over for possible inclusion, and then we will be putting that together for a future date to vote that omnibus bill out of committee. So, if members, does anybody have any questions on the process or procedure that I'm planning on following here? And seeing none, let's go ahead and get started. Senator Roebling, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm bringing to you today Senate File 788, which would authorize Raceway Park in Shakopee to have an on-sale liquor license. Raceway Park is an auto racing facility. It's open typically from May 1st to October 1st. It's located right across from Valley Fair. And so it is a seasonal operation. But right now they are only selling 3-2 beer, and they would like to be able to move up to a full on-sale license. Of course, this would be with the approval of the city of Shakopee. The issue is that under current law, a municipality doesn't have authority to issue an on-sale license to a racetrack. They have authority to license, you know, full restaurants, hotels, those bars, those typical types of facilities, but it does not list, even bowling alleys are in there, but not racetracks. And so that's why we're here today, is to ask you if you would authorize a license for them after the city of Shakopee, of course, would approve that. And I don't know if there's any questions. It really is about as simple as that.
Okay. You have a testifier with you, Senator Roebling.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have John Hellendrung. He is the owner of Raceway Park, and he could tell you more about his facility and why he would like this for some of the events that they have out there.
Okay. Well, Mr. Hellendrung, welcome to the committee. Please, if you could, for the record, again, identify yourself who you represent, or yourself in this case.
John Hellendrung, and I'm the owner of Raceway Park in Shakopee. And basically, we're just trying to expand what we have to offer for our hospitality and entertainment at our outdoor venue. We have many groups that bring corporate clients out. We have a deck that seats 150 people. We also have a VIP suite that will accommodate up to about 50 people. And we'd just like to offer some of these other products. I visited with some of the distributors, Phillips being one of them, and a couple of different wine venues that are interested in doing some advertising with us to offer their products. Obviously, that would help our bottom line. And just expanding the products that would be available over and above 3-2 as far as the malt beverages, some of the local microbrews. There's many marketing opportunities that would help us out, obviously, on a bottom line to offer those products. So in a nutshell, that's the reason for our interest in expanding to a full liquor license.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hellendrung. Committee members, do you have any questions? Okay. I'm going to ask Mr. Stang if he could explain a little bit about the context of these types of bills, because some of you may not know, and I don't know the history of these. And that question, I guess the question is, why is this before us? Why does the legislature, why are we making this decision? What do we base it on? Why should we or shouldn't we say yes or no? And so if Mr. Stang could maybe provide a little historical context to these types of proposals.
Mr. Chairman, as Senator Roebling explained, current statutory authority for cities to issue an on-sale license it's in Section 348.404, and it lists certain kinds of establishments. And that would include, and I think she mentioned this, hotels, restaurants, bowling centers, and certain clubs, and those are all defined further in statute. So essentially any kind of establishment that would like an on-sale license that doesn't fit within those categories essentially has to come to this legislature to ask for special authority to do it. And typically I think it's fair to say that the kinds of establishments that have come in have broadened over time. And, for example, a number of years ago, several theaters within the city of Minneapolis came in for authority. And then the next year, a couple more theaters would come in. Leading several years after that to a general, now we have general authority for a city to issue a license to a theater. Sports facilities are another type of establishment or facility which have come in over time, and this is kind of in that context. So at least at the state authority, we still have some measure of control over what kind of establishment can get an on-sale license, and if it's outside the box of what we've previously approved, they have to come in for special authority, and that's what this bill does.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stang. I have a question, Senator Roebling. I'm just looking at the way we're doing this now. We have in statute, we have those listed items. Your bill, I believe, is session law. Is that correct? It's session law with notwithstanding Minnesota statutes, and then you have this exception in here specifically for Shakopee. Why don't, I mean, are there other racetracks, if we decide that racetracks are an appropriate venue, because we want to have some control over the types of venues that are offering alcohol, why do session law and why not just add racetracks to the statute and have it covered so we don't have to do individual establishments like this in session law? Have you thought about that approach?
Well, Senator Gerlach, that probably would have been a good idea if I'd done it a few years ago, because I came in with a similar bill for Alco Speedway. And so if we had done it then, we wouldn't be here today. I would be very open to that if the members of the committee would. I don't know what it would take to redraft that. Are you considering this for an omnibus bill that maybe we would be able to consider doing that?
Well, what I would like to do is just briefly, is there any committee members that have any thought on that, whether you have some background knowledge in this or something? I know that, Senator Pappas, you had introduced a bill more or less kind of opening it in the past, wide open, and that I don't think passed because maybe people didn't feel comfortable with allowing municipalities to offer a license to anybody. But and yours is very narrow, so maybe you could tell us a little bit.
Well, Mr. Chairman, some legislators really like making people come to the legislature and beg for permission to do things. And other legislators think that it's perfectly okay for the local authority to make those decisions and that they don't have to spend our time and their energy coming here. So I'm kind of the opinion that we should just set kind of broad parameters, and then within that the local governments can issue the licenses.
Okay, and Senator Roebling, that triggered my thought of, you know, splitting the baby here in a Solomon-esque way, and that not having not granting the blanket coverage, but yet maybe session law carving out a particular venue, but rather adding the category to statute. I don't know if you wanted to look at doing that. Now we are going to lay this over. We're not going to take a vote, and we can talk about the inclusion of that. Let me just see how difficult that. How difficult do you think that would be? And do members have any objection to pursuing that direction?
Mr. Chairman, it wouldn't be difficult at all. If you're going to roll out a chairman's bill in a week or so, it could just be included in that form.
Okay. All right. Okay. Any members have any other questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's an excellent idea. I mean, I think that really is the direction we should be going in, Senator Pappas, and you both make the case. Yeah. And okay. It sounds like something that Senator Roebling is comfortable with, and it certainly would cover the issue for Shakopee. I just asked Senator Gazelka what they do at Brainerd, and you're not 100% sure. You think there's some drinking going on, so you could probably.
Okay, well then, thank you, Senator Scheid. Well, Senator Roebling.
And Mr. Chair and members, you know, especially since we have always had to also get approval from the local city or the municipality where the facility is located, and so they can still put their restrictions on it, how they feel comfortable with it too, as they're issuing liquor licenses. And so with that oversight also available, I think that it would be appropriate to include racetracks in with bowling alleys and hotels, perhaps.
Okay, well then, Senator Roebling, I think what we'll do then is, because we're not going to vote to pass this out today anyway, let's, I'm going to, without objection, then we'll lay this over. And I think that rather than doing the session law, we'll draft something up, work with you and Mr. Stang, and draft something up to just make that simple category added to the statute instead of the session law. That'll cover your particular situation. And then, as Senator Pappas said, we don't have to have everybody in this category coming up to petition us for each individual venue, but we can just use that for the category. So if that makes sense, then, members, then without objection, the chair lays Senate File 788 over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Liquor Bill, and we'll talk about those changes then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Senator Roebling.
Thank you.
And give that to you. And Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Welcome to the committee, Senator Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Gerlach. I think I've ever had to say those words before. Mr. Chair and members, nothing like a little booze and football to wake people up. We bring before you today Senate File 1076, and let me just make a couple the outset here, and then my hope, Mr. Chair, would be to take some brief testimony by the folks who are with me here from the university and also representing university alumni and fans. Members, I actually think this follows the Roebling bill and some of the conversation you've already had. I would argue that Senate File 1076 is about local control and about taking the state legislature and moving us a step back from micromanaging what goes on at the University of Minnesota and its facilities, namely in its policy on alcohol. There's a little history here, and I'm looking at my friend Senator Scheid because I know she's been involved in this over the years, but members, just briefly, so we have this new, I think we can still call it a new stadium, mm-hmm. on campus. At the U, two or three seasons now.
This will be our third season.
This will be our third football season. And so initially, as the university was putting together its financials and its plans for what this would mean for revenue, it did include selling alcohol in some selected portions of the stadium. Since those initial plans by the U, the legislature has stepped in two different times. A couple years ago, the legislature set a policy that said if you're going to sell it anywhere, you have to sell it everywhere. Does that make sense? So if you're going to sell it anywhere in the stadium, you got to sell it everywhere. And we had a healthy debate on that. And then it's either last year or 2 years ago, that legislative mandate was altered to say if you're going to sell it anywhere, you got to sell it to at least a third of who is attending. So that kind of makes my point, members. We've kind of become the liquor control board for the University of Minnesota, or particularly for the football stadium. And what I believe that this legislation does, and what I hope this committee would consider, is let's take a step back from that micromanagement of who gets what when, and let's allow the university, its administration, and its board of regents to determine mm-hmm. when and if and how alcohol is sold at this facility. So that's, I think, the public policy issue before you. Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, then I'd ask Kathy Brown from the University of Minnesota to give you a little more background on this. And then I'd like to have Bob Hughes talk as well.
Okay, thank you, Senator Michelle. Ms. Brown, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Catherine Brown. I'm Vice President and Chief of Staff to President Brunix. And I think I have been at your committee several times before on this very issue. I am completely supportive of the senator's comments introducing the bill, and I also agree with him that this does follow the previous discussion in returning this issue to local control. The regents are selected by the legislature. We've just selected four new regents, or three new and one carryover, just earlier this year. Those individuals on the board are in the best position to understand the broader university policies, how these issues fit in with the university mission and other priorities, and are well positioned to make decisions on whether we should sell alcohol in our TCF Bank Stadium or other facilities on campus. Because what we're seeking is this goes back to allowing the regents to decide on the other facilities. And the legislation currently on the books also addresses Williams Arena and Mariucci Arena, which has similar issues to the TCF Bank Stadium. Mm-hmm. Our hope around this is that we can make those decisions. The regents will consider those issues going forward and have not made a decision on that at this time. So those are really our comments. We hope we can return this to the local control of the regents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes. Yes, and I'm sorry, Ms. Brown. Now it's Mr. Hughes.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, Chair, appreciate that. My name is Bob Hughes, and I'm the president of the Golan Club Board of Directors. The Golan Club is the official booster club of Golan Gopher football. So as you can well imagine, a booster club consists of the very passionate fans, in a lot of cases, a lot of alumni. And as a board last month, we went on record to support what the university is doing. It's our belief this is a proper step, a big step in the right direction to allow this decision to be made by the regents, and hopefully they will move forward and restore the alcohol sales at Mariucci Arena, Williams Arena, and, of course, TCF Bank Stadium.
Hey, Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, just for a little more history for members, is the prohibition also includes the service of liquor, so that the university wanted to, if they couldn't sell liquor, at least offer it in their suites mm-hmm. in particular, mm-hmm. and were not allowed to because of this, so they had to discount the cost of the suites. So it's really been a financial hit for the athletic department in particular, this legislation. And given the fact that we're in, as a state, you know, we're having to cut the university's budget, it's really important that we leave them with any other tools they might have for to raise revenue.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, members of the committee, thank you for bringing that up. Essentially, our hope was to maximize our revenue streams from our athletic facilities. One of those would include the sale of suites, other premium seating options. Obviously, if you want to pay a premium for that seat, you want some amenities to go with that. food, opportunities to meet with coaches, those kinds of things are possible right now, but we have not been able to offer the amenity of either the sale or service of alcohol. And our competition for the sale of those premium seatings is primarily the professional venues where those amenities are available. Mm-hmm. So by comparison, we've had to discount the price of our premium seating. And as Senator Pappas very accurately noted, that does reduce our revenue stream from those sales.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Vice President Brown or Senator Michelle, whoever, why does the university not just open alcohol up to the entire stadium?
Senator Michelle?
I'm sure Ms. Brown will comment on this too, but just so it's clear, and I know this has been part of the discussion in the past, but 8 out of the 10 stadiums in the Big Ten only, well, I should say it this way, 8 out of 10 only offer alcohol in limited venues. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot for the university to juggle here. And again, Ms. Brown will talk about this, but you can't serve to those under 21. There's a revenue issue here. How do you make your club and these premium seats, how do you make those attractive in a down market when there are other stadiums, both professional and collegiate, that might be more attractive? So I think these are kind of interesting issues to debate, and you know, access to alcohol for minors. I mean, these are tough issues for college administrators. But I think that's where the discussion needs to be, with all due respect, Mr. Chair, not as much in the Commerce Committee and other committees in this building.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, members of the committee. The university has a very high value in the health and safety of our students, and we have a number of policies on our campus that address health and safety of students, including we don't advertise alcohol on campus. We have not allowed for the sale or service in other venues, on campus where students are the primary users of the facility. And so in our athletic venues, we are promoting student participation in these athletic contests. And the regents have felt strongly that it would be inappropriate to have alcohol in the public bowl area where students buy tickets, where we're promoting their attendance, when, as Senator Michelle said, not all of them are of drinking age. And it would be inconsistent with some of our other policies on health and safety of students.
Hey, Senator Bonhoeff has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Michelle, I'm glad you brought this forward. I concur with your view that we ought not to micromanage the university. I would say that goes for other things as well, like research. So couldn't miss that opportunity to say that.
Do you have an amendment, Senator Bonhoeff?
Wouldn't I like to, Mr. Chair? Curious about the implication if this were to go forward. We had a situation recently where the Vikings ended up playing at your field, and they were not able to sell alcohol because of this. What if we were to pass this and leave this up to you, and you chose to just do the premium seats, and then another franchise, such as the Vikings, was in a situation where they were sharing the field with you for a time? How would what you're doing with regard to the Gophers affect the ability for another team to use alcohol on a broader basis?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoeff, members of the committee, the Viking situation was one where we were willing to talk with them and work through. Given the time constraints, the NFL and the Vikings both agreed that they would not pursue the sale of alcohol in the stadium for that single game. I think if there were any arrangements that were necessary going forward, we've been very open that we are willing to talk with people and try to work out appropriate arrangements. This is a public building, and it's for public use, and we're trying to do our best to make it available for appropriate uses in that regard.
Thank you.
Okay, and Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Michelle, I was looking at the bill, and the second page, it's already in statute that we allow the deck in Duluth to allow, you know, serve alcohol there. That's the UMD Bulldog, so I don't think this is way out of line. For me personally, and I think you hit the right chord with local control, we value that as something that you guys have the opportunity to do. And so I'm going to support this, but I guess from the university, I just want to have assurances that you guys will continue to use good judgment when we have minors involved. And so that's I see through this conversation that that is happening, but that's the underlying issue for me for your responsibility is to use good judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator, we could not agree more. We are very committed, again, to the health and safety of students. We have a number of programs on campus that are designed to help students make good choices around drinking and try to get away from binge drinking and other problems that we have identified in college campuses. So we are very much in line with that value, and I think you can be assured that that will continue.
Thank you. Okay, Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Michelle, I thank you for bringing this forward. After having gone through the horrible process of selecting regents earlier this year, I think now that we are done with that, we need to let the regents do their job. They've been chosen by us as a legislature. They should not have to keep coming back here so that we can micromanage their decisions, and I would fully support letting the regents be the ones who decide whatever direction this goes. To me, it's not an issue of how much money it's going to raise for the university. It's an issue of letting the regents be the ones who make the decisions.
And, Mr. Chair.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Senator Brown. I'd like to get back to second-guessing the coaching or the play calling and not so much the alcohol policy.
All right, Senator Pappas.
I pass.
Oh, okay. All right, Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And even though I don't approve of the bill, I just want to say why, and I'm not going to fight about it and argue about it. That's embarrassing because I care deeply about the University of Minnesota, and I understand the importance of the revenue involved here. Just point out, and perhaps, Senator Michelle, you can refresh my memory, how many years did they play at the Metrodome? The Gophers?
20. More, 25.
22, 23.
Yeah, we're over 20. At least over 20, Senator
Scheid. So something over 20 years, Mr. Chairman, at the Metrodome where alcohol was available, and I believe students or people who were old enough got a wristband, and it just seems to me the university ought to be able to figure out a system, because I think there's just enormous hypocrisy in this policy, that if I'm an alumni and I can only afford to go to a couple games or one game or whatever, I can sit across the aisle from somebody who can go upstairs and get a drink, but I can't. I can't have a beer at my, you know, alma mater's football game, which seems like a really big deal. That's how you said football and and beer, and I don't disagree. And having just watched, I'm a big college basketball fan, and having just watched the Big Ten and the NCAA actually virtually at every level, in knowing that Miller and Anheuser-Busch are major sponsors and that every school participating takes in those revenues, it bothers me that the university is willing to take that money but not allow everyone who comes to their game and is supportive and is a fan and is a booster, because I bet not all the boosters have premium seats. Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. No. They can't have a beer. And, of course, a minor could be a guest in a suite. So I just point that out, not that they're going to serve the minor, but that issue, you know, applies across the board and will still continue to apply. But I would just like, and I can share with the regents, and I know that most of them that I've spoken to understand, that I just think there's enormous hypocrisy in the policy, and I really think you ought to be able to buy a beer at the stadium if you're there to support the team. But that's all I'll say. Go forward in peace.
And Mr. Chair, I appreciate Senator Scheid's comments. I think you've, to borrow some more football terminology, I think you've advanced the ball, and I do think you've got the university thinking in some more, if you want to say, creative ways. And it also strikes me, well, now that there's so many legislators on the Board of Regents, they'll probably listen to us. They'll probably listen to you, Senator.
Shied off, Mr.
Or Senator Pappas.
I will make my comment now, Mr. Chairman, and Ms. Brown, do correct me if I'm wrong, but it was my understanding that when the stadium was designed, it was designed for limited access to alcohol, to beer, correct. And so that there's only limited stations where, you know, the premium seats can access beer, and that one of the big problems with opening up to everyone or even opening up to a third of the stadium was the ability to have places where you could actually buy the beer and, you know, and serve customers without having long lines and crowds, and, you know, there's just a lot of physical complications with doing that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, that is correct. We did not include any dispensers in the concession stands or any other plans for selling alcohol at any other location than in the DQ club room, the indoor club room, and then the suites would be catered service.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At this time, could I ask, is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak in favor of this bill? Is there anybody that wants to speak in opposition to it? Or is there anybody that just wants to speak?
Mr. Chairman, we should have hordes of students and alumni here demanding to be able to drink beer. And they're not here.
21-year-olds.
That's right, they're in school. Okay, well then, members, and see, no other questions. Senator Pappas, would you like to move the bill?
I'd like to move the bill.
Senator Pappas moves that Senate File 1076 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Higher Education. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails, and Senate File 1076 is recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Higher Education.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you,
members.
Senator Michelle. Okay, and item three on the agenda, Senator Benson. Welcome to the committee. Senator Benson, now that you are, now that it's okay for you to have a drink.
Happy to appear before the committee,
your
Mr.
Your first
Chair.
Act is to come before the Commerce Committee. Well, that is true, if that's the case. But welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senators, I place before you Senate File 1091 related to farm wineries and their ability to display and sell samples of their wares on sale at county fairs as part of a growing agricultural sector in Minnesota. Farm wineries are relatively new, but they are gaining some ground. The grapes are getting better and the wine is getting better, and this gives them an opportunity within the agricultural community to show what they're doing and expand the base of their customers, and that's why we're here. And I do have someone who would like to testify on behalf of this legislation, if I may invite him up.
Absolutely.
Could you also give a little background? Mr. Mark Hedin. He is the owner and winemaker of a vineyard in Andover, Minnesota, and he'd like to briefly share his story with you.
Mr. Hedin, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Thompson. Senators? Mr. Chair and senators.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You got it now. That's okay. Welcome.
My name is Mark Hedin with White Rabbit Vineyards and Winery, and I'm here to speak in support of Senate File 1091. I am the owner, the grower, the picker, the stomper, the fermenter, the bottler, and the salesperson for White Rabbit Vineyards and Winery in Andover, Minnesota. And I started making wine in 1988 and became a legal winery in 2007. I'm one of Minnesota's smallest farm wineries. Now, if you were to tour Europe, you would find some huge billion-dollar wineries with thousands of acres of grapes grown in their fields, and they export to America. But there are thousands of families over there with only an acre or two who make their wine to sell locally, and they never get exported to more than 100 or 200 miles from where it's made. These are small producers that are called garagistes. White Rabbit's winery is kind of like those garagistes. I don't have hundreds of acres of apple trees, grapes, raspberries, or rhubarb. And we don't have the climate here in Minnesota to grow Cabernet or Chardonnay, and I don't have a large tasting room or an old barn to provide ambience for you to come buy my wines. I don't have a large marketing budget either. Most people who buy White Rabbit wines, they buy it because a friend bought a bottle and let them taste it, or they came to a fundraiser where I donated a bottle of wine and they bought it for the fundraiser. In short, it's not easy being a farm winery in Minnesota. And like the seeds that you plant in your garden in the spring, any nurturing that you can do for Minnesota's farm winery would be very much appreciated. There are not very many opportunities for people to taste a small winery's wine in Minnesota other than going to the winery. To be able to sell a glass of wine to hundreds of people at a local county fair would mean so much more to the winery than just that glass of wine. People will remember how good that glass of wine is, and they will tell their friends and neighbors. That's my marketing plan. Okay, and who knows, as the Minnesota farm winery industry grows, maybe someday you'll be able to bring home a nice bottle of Minnesota Marquette wine that you tasted at the county fair last year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, it was interesting that Mr. Dean mentioned Marquette because I think that's possibly the most promising.
I agree.
And when you talk about, you know, Cabernet, and we can't do that, but I think Marquette's going to give some of those other reds a run for their money. I'm wondering, we already allow sale of this wine, like at the state fair, in the ag building, I believe. And I think I've been in there really early in the morning having a glass of Minnesota wine. This seems totally consistent with that. We allow the winery to sell on your premises, am I right? So you can sell, and you can already have that license. Do you do that, sir?
Yes, I do.
So this is just talking about a county fair, and this might be another one of those places, Mr. Chairman, maybe not, but that, or I can imagine that there might be some other kinds of locations where they might be able to do this, but I can't think of them now. But I certainly am supportive of letting county fairs, you know, have this wine and let the wineries sell it there. So,
okay, Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. Chair, well, I think this makes sense, but I just want to make sure we're not running two sets of rules here. And I'm not sure I understand the distribution enough to know that, to where you have one group that's got 4 million rules about doing something, and then we have another group with no rules. So are there people selling wine that have more limits on what they can do than this person would have when they sell wine, is I guess what I'm getting at.
Senator Benson?
Mr. Chair, Senator Vandeveer, I don't know all the rules for wine distribution in the state of Minnesota, and to be frank, I don't know where the size breakover is, where you move from being a farm winery to just being a general winery, and I'm going to trust the experts at the committee here that they will give some guidance and can look into further consistency. This is really about an expanding area of Minnesota's agriculture and letting them display at the county fair like other agrarian products would be.
And Mr. Chair, I understand that. I'm just wondering if nobody cares to address the question in the audience, then it probably isn't an issue. So, what is there?
Well, that's really put.
I'm not aware of any. Yes, Mr. Kapsack.
My name is Paul Kapsack, and I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. And I've been doing it 22 years, so I'm kind of old, and so I kind of know, you know, a few of the laws. We have no objection to this. As far as consistency, Senator, there are provisions in there that would allow an on-sale retailer to go off-premise to do during a community special event. There's a provision in there that would allow a brewer go do some sort of festival thing, a temporary type of a thing. And we just kind of looked at the county fair as a, you know, kind of fitting into that as kind of a temporary type of a thing, a special event county fair type of thing. So I guess if there's, I mean, the way we looked at it, there was that consistency type of a thing. And so, and we also saw there's stuff in our stores too. I just thought I'd throw that out there too, but you know, thanks, that makes sense.
Thank you very much for that information, Mr. Kapsack.
Thank you.
What's that? Senator Cruz, you had a question.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to thank you, you know, both Senator Benson and Mr. Dean for bringing this bill forward. I'm an old restaurant guy. I was in restaurants for 16 years, and I have seen through that a push over the last, you know, 5 years especially towards more of these Minnesota wineries, which, you know, I think, as Mr. Dean mentioned, that's a new thing for us here because we do struggle with the climate to grow the grapes and you know, produce a great product. But they're finally starting to allow that to happen with these different grape varietals that are a little bit more hardy in the winter. So I just want to thank you for bringing this forward because I think it offers a perfect opportunity for some of these new startup wineries here in Minnesota with these new grape varietals to market their product. I think it's a perfect opportunity to get it out there and let Minnesotans know that there are some homegrown wines out there. So thank you for that.
I have a question. Senator Benson, the last sentence here says licenses under the subdivision are not valid unless first approved by the Commissioner of Public Safety. Is that consistent with other types of licenses for these types of things, or why was that put in the bill? Maybe Mr. Stang?
Mr. Chairman, I can answer that. That was put in because other temporary on-sale licenses allowed in the liquor code require that as well. It doesn't have to be done that way, but that's consistent with how other temporary on-sales are done.
Okay, thank you. And Senator Pappas, did you have a question?
No.
Or do you didn't? Okay, Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, just a comment. Thank you also for being here, Mr. Hayden. I, too, think this is a good thing that we're getting more of these local wineries. And for members who may not know it, Senator Stumpf, our very own senator, has a winery. And so for those of you who didn't know that, you ought to ask him to try his wine sometime.
That's right. Thanks for the commercial on Two Fools Winery.
Two Fools, right.
I don't know if he's one of those, but I or not.
That's a funny name.
Okay, and then I have a question. I was just wondering also if the inspiration for White Rabbit, are you a fan of Lewis Carroll literature or is it Jefferson Airplane?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Very good. You have the makings of a politician.
Right. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm afraid someone might sue me if I said it's from you. So it could be either one.
Either one. Okay. Well, thank you. Then with that, if members, I don't have any other questions. I'd like to ask, is there anybody else in the audience that would either like to speak in favor of or in opposition to Senator Benson's proposal? Okay. Seeing none, then without objection, the chair will lay over Senate File 1091 for possible inclusion into the omnibus liquor bill. So we'll hold on, and we'll be back to you then.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Senator Benson. And Senator Howe is next on our agenda, item number 4. Senator Howe, welcome to the committee. Senator Howe, welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Senator Gerlach and Chair and Senators. I understand it's Liquor Day here at the Capitol, but I haven't seen any liquor yet, so I know it's still the morning. I have Senate File 218, which is a bill pertaining to allowing an annual wine festival in our state where the Commissioner of Public Safety would issue and allow for a wine festival. It'd be an annual event where we could showcase wine and wineries in our state. As you know, it's become a big tourism business. It's more than a cottage industry. It actually provides millions of dollars in revenue and millions of dollars and employment for our state. And this would just allow that they would be able to offer at a winery, at a farm site, wine either for sale by the glass or upon leaving the festival, they could sell a bottle of wine. And I do have a couple of people here to testify in support of this. To start with, I have John Faulkner from Faulkner Wineries in Red Wing. So with that, I'll start with Mr. Faulkner.
Mr. Faulkner, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Gerlach and other senators. I'm John Faulkner, Faulkner Vineyards Winery in Red Wing, Minnesota. We've been a winery for 8 years. We were the 13th in the state, and now there's 30-some. So it really shows you the growth of the industry. It's becoming a very serious industry. This bill would allow us to help both what customers want to have and help the wineries. Currently, one of the most frequently asked questions when we do festivals like the this last weekend, the Savor Minnesota, the Minnesota Food and Wine Festival, is why can't we buy a bottle to take home? They don't understand why they cannot. It would be a boon to the grape growing industry. A lot of our festivals are actually in the winter years, and most Minnesota farm wineries are seasonal in nature. So that wintertime cash, by being able to sell some wine, would be wonderful for the individuals. Currently, some of the venues where festivals take place, they can sell liquor by the glass, but the wineries who are giving it away free in tasting cannot. My experience in my past industry, I was in the yard industry. We created a festival in Red Wing. In the downtown people, the stores were worried about the taking away business. Well, what they've learned is that's their single biggest weekend of the year. These festivals will support the other stores in the community, even the stores and restaurants, because we bring a lot of people to the community. Wineries are especially suited for this. We are currently licensed to serve wine at our wineries and sell bottles. So we have a unique experience where most other venues where people can purchase liquor, they cannot sell. So and vice versa, where they can sell but they can't sell bottles. So we have a unique experience with that. The Minnesota Farm Winery Association started Savor Minnesota last year. We had about 250 attendees the first year. This year we had over 700. And it just really shows that Minnesotans are proud of Minnesota wines, Minnesota farmers, and they want to support us. We also have a wine garden at the State Fair, which was talked about earlier. This is run by the Minnesota Farm Winery Association. So we're an industry that's familiar with what needs to be done to keep it safe for individuals and how to, you know, to make sure that nobody who shouldn't have alcohol has it. With that, I would like to, I guess, conclude and answer any questions if there are some.
Any questions? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Howe, I'm not clear on the language here. Would this allow for just one festival in Minnesota per year, or would it allow different associations of owners and operators to have various annual festivals in Minnesota?
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Brown, I believe it would be by association, so they would have to be a registered nonprofit association, so it would be by association. And it would be at the discretion of the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Hold on 1 second, Senator Sparks. That actually answered a question I had, and my question was, why is it that the previous bill we had, the Benson bill, the issuing authority was the governing body of the municipality, yet here you're saying it should be, you know, the commissioner. And if there's only going to be one event, you can't have the municipalities granting this, they're not going to know if it was somebody else did it. But if you have the commissioner do it at one point, is that one of the reasons you have the commissioner issuing the license, Senator Howe?
Mr. Chair, that is exactly right. And this does not supersede local control. This actually, they would have to get permission from the commissioner of the Department of Public Safety first, and they would be the point person. They would know exactly if there's one or two or three, and then it does not supersede. There'd still be local control. You would still have to go inside of the local jurisdiction. And if it's in a county, they'd have to go in front of the county board, the issuing license, or if it's in a city, they'd have to go in front of the city council. So there'd still be local control.
Okay. And Senator Sparks.
To that same point, Mr. Chair, and that's what I was looking at the previous bill, and I think here we talk about May the commissioner, and to Senator Brown's point, too, if it's just this annual festival, that's not such a concern of mine, but I wonder if there would be a fiscal cost to the commissioner if he's required to do this on an ongoing basis.
Well, Senator Sparks, I think it's one per year, so I can't imagine that would be any sort of a fiscal impact. Just asking them to approve one license. Senator Howe, have you had any discussions on that?
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Chair and Senator Sparks, a good question. I did talk with members or representatives from DPS, and you know they are concerned going forward that you know that they don't require a fee for nonprofits, so there is no revenue that is generated. They haven't come to the legislative body yet and asked for a fee. They would still be required to pay the local fees, though, in this bill. So any fees for a temporary license would be still collected at the local level. But at the state level, they have not. They may come in the future, you know, as more and more nonprofits ask, not just for this, but other temporary licenses for other things that, you know, maybe the legislative body should consider that nonprofits would pay a fee to the commissioner of DPS.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Dames.
Well, I'd just like to make a comment on the bill. I think that it's certainly a bill that the local wineries would like to support and like to have because it's an opportunity for them to have a festival where they could showcase their wine, show what their capabilities are, and get people to the festival and have them see what is produced in Minnesota in our small agricultural wineries. So I think it's an important bill, and I think that it's one way that we can support our local wineries so that they can get their product better known and have a little bit of a showcase of their products.
Thank you, Senator Dames. Any other questions? Okay, then is there anybody else in the audience, or did you have some other testifiers?
Mr. Chair, I do have two more testifiers.
Oh, you do?
Actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
One that's listed and one that is not. I have with me Nick and Carol Christensen from St. Paul. They have Painted Lakes Winery. It is a future small business opportunity for the state of Minnesota and for them. And with that, I'd like to introduce Nick Christensen to speak.
Mr. Christensen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and senators. I'm just going to read a quick testimony here for you and then maybe elaborate a little bit on that and answer any questions if you guys need that. Starting a winery is hard. And any opportunity that we can get to help promote and market our product is key for us. In the next few years, my wife and I will be starting Painted Lakes Winery. It'll be a small farm artisan winery. During my research, I've spoken to several winery owners across Minnesota regarding specifically festivals and events. Their advice to me is don't get your hopes up and don't invest any time or money that you can't spare to lose. Many wineries in our state participate in wine events, considering it a cost of marketing, often at a financial loss. Allowing wineries to coordinate and support festivals will bring attention to the quality of this local industry and its products. Allowing on-sale and off-sale of wine by the glass and bottle will increase the number of wineries willing to attend such events, giving a future farm and winery like mine, Painted Lakes Winery, an additional outlet for sales and community education. These events will generate more funds for such community events, increase tax revenue, and help our young wine industry grow. Many winemakers are local farmers who are producing a value-added product that has to be able to compete within a world wine market. Unfortunately, this world market is often no greater distance than our local liquor stores. That's kind of my main point here, is that we're competing against everybody out there, and we need an outlet so that people can really see us and who we are. And as a small winery, we need to be able to be found. And with a small marketing budget, this type of opportunity will help us succeed. Thank you.
And did your business partner?
This is my wife.
Yes, I know that. I know that. But also business partner, yes, partner, it sounds like. Did you want to say anything to the committee on the topic?
No, welcome. I just agree with what he said.
All right. Thank you for coming. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, and to the Christensens, where is your farm winery going to be located?
We don't have a location yet. The reason why this might be important is because we do want to locate, hopefully, in northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. If we locate near other wineries, we could band together, and that would help us. And then we could have these types of festivals to showcase different parts of Minnesota. And not all wines in Minnesota are made with grapes. So that's another thing that we kind of have to let the public know and educate them about. So.
And Senator Bonhoff has a funny look on her face, so she's wondering, what else are you making wine out of?
Exactly.
There's
dandelions.
Yeah. Fruit wine and dandelions or whatever you want to. There's tons of different things out there. I do know that there is a Minnesota winery that is making a dandelion wine right now. So.
Thank you.
Something. Okay. Okay, and Senator Howe, did you have some other testifiers?
Mr. Chair and Senators, I have one other person I'd like to just speak to the tourism industry, and that is, let's see here. Is Colleen Tollefson from the Office of Minnesota Tourism. So if I could have her come up and just...
Tollefson,
and welcome. I also do have a report here that was done in August of 2008 by the University of Minnesota, and I'd like to have this handed out, too, if I could.
Ms. Tollefson, welcome to the committee, and please, I guess, introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Colleen Tollefson with Explore Minnesota Tourism. And I just want to echo a little bit what the Christensen said. At Explore Minnesota, we have 29 wineries in our database right now. We view festivals as an important component because what they do, whether it's a wine festival or any other type of festival, is that they attract people the first time to an area, and once they're there, they're more likely to return. Another product that goes along with the wine industry right now, and this is a really developing and growth area. I mean, if I'd have looked in our database a year ago, we might have had 22 wineries. So it's an expanding area. But another thing about wineries is that they have banded together in a number of cases and created wine trails so that you can go to a number of different wineries on a route or an itinerary, which also helps make them a destination. They're both urban and rural, although largely rural in Minnesota. Wineries are really good from the standpoint that we look for things that are off-peak or off-season destinations as well, and wineries in particular in the fall are a great destination, so that's another way of selling the fall season for Minnesota. The thing that wineries also do is they create a destination. You might be in a rural area. You may not have a lot of other commercial attractions in your area, but the winery itself can create the destination and from that generate overnight travel that's going to benefit the entire area. So we have been and continue to be supportive of the growth of wineries as a travel product.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Tollefson?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I know that other states do have more wineries. Actually, we had very few like 10 years ago, and I don't know if we have more than 29. Perhaps we do now. I know we need people to be growing grapes because we need more grapes. Whether or not you do a winery with it, I think there are people that just grow grapes, and then there are people that are vintners. The University of Minnesota, of course, has done so much work in developing cold climate grapes. And I'm wondering if the department has looked at what I think Iowa does a really nice winery tour. I know Ohio has a spectacular, and at the state, meaning that their departments of tourism, put together these tours. And Mr. Chairman, just as we'll hear tonight about the burgeoning interest in craft beer, there's also the same kind of thing going on with wine. And people are going from winery to winery. They're doing they're traveling just for the purpose of visiting wineries. And so I'm wondering if the department has looked into that. I realize it's kind of a tough...
Inform the state patrol.
And I think I know a lot of them ride bicycles, Senator Ress, so of course there's probably laws about that too, but I know it's a difficult or sometimes controversial topic to get into, but I wonder if the department has looked at the possibility of doing those kinds of promotions for beer and or wine, yeah. Obviously in this case wine.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, the University of Minnesota Tourism Center has been extremely involved with the wineries in Minnesota to develop wine trails. Not all wineries are on a wine trail right now, but it's definitely a growth product, and that, I think, addresses what you're saying, is kind of going winery to winery and providing an itinerary for people. In terms of craft beer right now, I am aware of at least one major publication that's geared toward group tour operators that promotes sort of a craft beer type of itinerary in southern Minnesota, and we would certainly be interested in promoting that as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions?
Senator Grove.
Okay, Senator Hott, any closing
Mr.
comments,
Chair.
And we're going to
yes,
look for some other...
Yes, on this report, I just direct you to the second page of the executive summary and just to read those bullet points, and then also just to follow up just the very last paragraph of the entire piece where it talks about the economic. And, of course, this was conducted in 2007 and 2008, and so there's been additional growth in there. And, you know, just food for thought, each acre of grapes that is grown and that is made into wine in Minnesota is worth about $2,500 in sales tax revenue to the state. So I think this is just gives an opportunity for somebody to showcase their wine, and then when they get back home, maybe they're a couple hundred miles away, they can encourage their local distributor or their local liquor store to carry the wine. And so I think it's a win for everybody. So I really look forward to getting your support on this bill.
Okay. Let me ask, there's no other committee questions for the proponents now. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to also to speak either in favor of or in opposition to this bill? Mr. Kapsack, welcome again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'm Paul Kapsack with the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. I guess it's more of some clarifications. Number one, the types of wine festivals that are being discussed right now are allowable right now under existing law. So if a nonprofit organization like the Minnesota Grape Growers Association or another nonprofit organization would like to have a wine festival and serve on sale at this festival, they can do it right now. So that's part of it. We have some concerns about the off-sale portion of this. Getting back to the consistency of Senator Vanderveer, right now there is no other law that allows them to, or a product to be sold off premise. And then finally, I think it's important to know that as I'm more of a marketing guy than I am a lobbyist, and I am committed. And so one of the things I do with my association is to help our members succeed, and we are committed to helping the Minnesota wineries grow. And so I've had discussions with the Minnesota Grape Growers Association on how we can better do that, not only just to sell one bottle, but I want them to sell cases. And we've talked about various ideas where we can go working within the existing system to do that. One is fine. I want to sell cases. I want to support the Minnesota wine industry, and I think we can do that within the existing system.
Okay, Mr. Kapsack, I have a question for you. I want to be sure here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, you say they can already do it for on sale.
A nonprofit organization,
nonprofit.
Mr. Chairman.
So just looking in the statute for, here, this would be subdivision 10 of, what is the section that we're looking at here?
44.
Yep, 340A.404, subdivision 10, temporary on-sale licenses. The governing body of a municipality may issue to a club or charitable, religious, or other nonprofit organization in existence for 3 years. So I guess you've got to be around for 3 years.
Well, and it's on sale only.
And it's on sale only. Okay. Correct. And so the proposal is for on and off sale. Is that correct, Senator Howe?
Senator, Chairman and Senators, absolutely. And I understand that the Minnesota Grape Growers Association is initially who brought me this bill to bring. And they have actually sent me a letter. I have a letter here for the senators that they had sent me pulling their support for the bill on this. The current state law would be very, under state statute, would be very cumbersome to work with. This is the bill here is short. It allows for a wine festival. It would be controlled through the commissioner of DPS. And I understand the pressures that are put on people and associations, but I think this is a good piece of legislation. I think it's something that we should do. It's something that we should embrace. And I don't think the idea that this is going to divert economic growth or economy, like I said, you know, people that come to wineries or wine festivals end up sometimes several hundred miles away from where the festival was or maybe where the winery is located at. And this would, I think, would be a win for everybody because if they like the wine, they'd encourage their local liquor store to carry the wine and and I just think it's a good piece of legislation. So I understand how this works, but I just I think this is a good piece of legislation and should go forward. And the other thing is, if I don't want to be talking about this a year from now or 2 years from now. Certainly, they brought this issue forward, and I think it's not just the Minnesota Grape Growers Association that's doing wine. You heard from Carol and Nick Christensen, who are looking at open up a winery. They don't belong to any association right now. And you've also heard from the tourism office. You also heard from Mr. Faulkner. My point is that the Grape Growers Association doesn't represent all wine growers in the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I want to point. I just quickly went through the letter from Mr. Maloney, who originally brought the bill to Senator Howe with whom I met as well. And they were very enthusiastic because they're trying to grow the industry. And they think that by coming together with a festival, an annual festival, that they can do that. There's a couple of points in the letter. It's clear that they became concerned that their wines, those Minnesota wines, were not going to be able to be sold, that people would refuse their product if they went forward with this. But there's also the second to the last, or third to the last paragraph, I guess. Please understand how much your help is appreciated. The requested changes would clearly have helped the growth of the industry, and that's what we're trying to do, is grow an industry, grow jobs, Minnesota jobs. And this is also obviously agricultural industry, very important. So I hope that we will be supportive of Senator Howe's proposal here because I think it's good for that growth. And Mr. Maloney would like it clearly. They do still want it, but they're backing off their support only because of some practical considerations.
Senator Howe, I have a question for you. Concern from the industry is we have a set of rules, and of course this opens it up. You have liquor stores selling the product, and this is another venue for that, and so that's where some of the controversy comes in. But I know there was some talk about limiting the quantity. For example, your bill is pretty much you can sell as much as you want by the bottle, and that the intent is not to try to sell out your inventory, but rather to introduce these products, these Minnesota wines, to create a fan base and a consumer base.
Sure.
And so there was some talk about maybe adding some limitation on how much off sale there could be. I don't know how you do that or how that would be tracked or how anything, but has that entered into your negotiations on this or your discussions with folks on this and what was determined? And I don't know if maybe Mr. Kapsack wanted to comment on that as well. I don't know if he was involved in that. But what about the idea of some limitation? Does that give some comfort to the folks that think this is just opening a door to shaking up the system too much?
Mr. Chair and Senators, I have not had any discussions with the MMBA or the MLBA. Certainly, if we wanted to limit this to a case purchase or less, or six bottles or less, I think those are things that we could work into the legislation. I don't think the intent here is to, like you said, sell out your inventory at a festival. It's just to expose people to it, and if you enjoy a bottle of wine, you could purchase a bottle upon leaving the festival, and I'd certainly be open to it. I think that would be certainly something that we could work into this legislation as it moves forward.
Okay. Well, then maybe if I could ask Mr. Kapsack if you could maybe come up to the table very briefly and then comment on that. Have you considered I thought that this was one of the discussion points as well about limiting that. Does that help your situation at all with some limitation on the off sale rather than just opening up to being limitless? Does that help you at all, and is that something that is worth discussing going forward because we're going to lay this bill over?
Mr. Chairman, it is true we haven't talked. My conversations have been with the Grape Growers Association, and we talked a lot about different aspects, of the bill. As I referenced earlier, I mean, I've been doing my job for 22 years, and that was kind of flippant. But on the other hand, it's given me a history of things, and I've learned over time that once that door is open, I mean, that it will continue down a path that sometimes we haven't even explored. And so, on the surface, it would be a limitation. Yeah, that's no big deal. But if you kind of take it as a whole and you kind of look at the path that this may go in the future, I mean, there is still those questions.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. It looks like there's somebody else that wants to comment on this from the audience. Please identify yourself and who you represent for the record, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, sir. My name is Jim Arlt. I am the interim director for the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division. I've heard us being mentioned a couple times. I wanted to make myself available. We're not either for or against this bill. We're very neutral on it. I am a proponent of farm wineries. So we do have 44 in our state currently, and it seems to be a growing industry, as it presently is. You are right about the aspect that this, as far as temporary license, this would be the first off-sale provision allowed in it. Mm-hmm. As far as a fiscal note, I heard that comment possibly come up, and we would reserve the right to be able to take a look at that once the bills are passed or we're asked for one. If there is more than one festival, then obviously there's a possibility for more need for manpower, and at this point we're very limited in the amount of manpower that we currently have. So I'm here to answer any questions if you do have any that I haven't answered already.
But if I could ask one also just kind of as a follow-up with Senator Pappas's earlier about the – or I know it was Senator Sparks earlier about this. The bill is saying that there would be one per year. That's correct, Senator Howe. Mm-hmm. So with that and not multiple ones, would you anticipate that this would have any kind of a fiscal impact on your department?
If there's only one festival and there's only one organization asking for it, no. Okay. If there is multiple festivals – then there's a possibility then obviously at that point that it would increase. There's also the possibility of needing a liquor investigator to swing by and check it out and make sure everything's being run appropriately. The processing, I believe there was a question about the processing of the license. That can actually, my reading of the bill could actually go either way as far as local authority first, like the usual process is. And then we would, but this allows us the authority to issue one a year per organization requesting it. Would that be
okay? All right.
That Mr. Chair.
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senators, that's probably the better way that would happen is that they would get the local permission first and then seek the authority from the Commissioner of DPS.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak either in favor of or in opposition to this bill? And seeing none, Any other final questions from committee members? Seeing none, then without objection, the chair will lay over Senate File 218. We'll lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus liquor bill. Thank you very much, Senator Howell.
Mr. Chairman.
And the last item on our agenda today in the last few minutes, we'll turn that over to Senator Gazelka. And
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of you before you go.
Yes,
do
Senator
that.
Shai.
I wanted to ask, is your intention, so if Senator Howe works on language, is it inappropriate then to come back when you do put the bill together? You'll be presenting it to the committee as
absolutely,
a whole.
Absolutely, Senator. That's a great question because, as we've mentioned, there are several of these bills that
right.
we thought could do a little bit reworking. And since we're not voting them, we're not letting them leave the committee. And what we'll do is we'll figure out how we're going to put this omnibus bill together. And at that time, we'll review these changes, proposed changes, and see what the groups have come up with. And if we feel comfortable that they are in the shape the committee wants to move them forward, then we'll do that at that time.
Thank you.
Welcome, Senator Gerlach, to your committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. But what I have here actually is the bill is Senate File 918. And what I just wanted to just tell you also, I do have an amendment, but it is it's also a small matter, which I don't think will be very controversial. And it came late, and it is college-related. So what I would like to do is, when the time comes, I'd like to offer that amendment, but I would like to, I don't want to do it as an author's amendment just because it's a separate issue, and we can discuss it, and we could vote if we want to put it on this bill, and then I would ask that we lay over the whole bill for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. So if that's okay with members, I think what I'd like to do is just take the original bill here, Senate File 918, and this deals with the finding my notes here. Well, let me just explain. It's under current law, municipality cannot issue a liquor license to a nonprofit college or university located within its jurisdiction. And this bill is modeled after provisions enacted by the legislature over the past few years that permits the city of Minneapolis to issue a liquor license for Augsburg College or the University of St. Thomas, Minneapolis campus. And this bill would permit municipalities to issue liquor licenses to nonprofit colleges and universities located within that municipality. I have a couple of testifiers here that will explain a little background on the issue briefly, and it shouldn't take us a whole lot of time. So I have Mr. Scott McMahon, the Director of Government and Community Affairs at the Minnesota Private College Council, and then also Doug Hennis, the Vice President of University of Government Relations at the University of St. Thomas. So those, I guess, whoever would want to go first.
Welcome. State your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Scott McMahon. I'm the Director of Government and Community Affairs of Minnesota Private College Council. We represent the 17 nonprofit liberal arts colleges located across the state, schools like St. Thomas, Carleton, McAllister, St. Olaf, and that collection of institutions. What this bill does is very simple. It allows our colleges to engage in a conversation with their local municipality as to whether or not that municipality wishes to grant a liquor license to the institution. Over the past few years, schools have come here individually. We've had Augsburg a few years ago. St. Thomas came here last year and got the provision enacted for the Minneapolis campus. Under the proposal, the municipality would not be required to issue the liquor license to the college or university, and the municipality would have the ability to place conditions on that license as it relates to the campus. What this does is really allow the college, the municipality, and its community to figure out what's the best way for things to work within that given community. You've heard a lot today with the previous bills about liquor licenses pertaining to specific facilities, the racetracks and such. What this bill really focuses in and how our campuses work is we're not talking about facilities. We're not talking about, you know, this building on campus has a restaurant or whatever that can serve alcohol. What we're really talking about are events that our campuses host throughout the course of a calendar year. Alumni gatherings, reunions, events where donors are coming to campus, where much like it was discussed with the University of Minnesota TCF Bank Stadium bill, where it's going to help our campuses work with donors, work with funders, and so on and so forth, work with alumni in our interactions with them. Those are the types of things we're talking about. We're not talking about facilities on campuses. We're not talking about opportunities for students. We're solely looking at the other portion of the community that our campuses do serve. At this point, I would like to turn it over to Doug Kenneth from St. Thomas to give you a sense as to how this works for a given campus, and afterwards we're happy to entertain any questions or comments that committee members may have.
Thank you, Scott. Mr. Chair and Senators, my name is Doug Hannes. I'm Vice President for University and Government Relations at St. Thomas. We were here a year ago seeking enabling legislation to allow us to approach Minneapolis and St. Paul for our two campuses to obtain liquor licenses. You did approve the Minneapolis campus license, and the St. Paul license was removed from the bill because of some concerns that neighbors expressed about what does this mean for our area. We have clarified that, and we do now have the support of our Neighborhood Advisory Committee on this legislation. It had discussions in January and February on it, and the Advisory Committee was comfortable saying it supported the legislation in front of you as long as St. Thomas was willing to, in good faith, negotiate any conditions on a liquor license once this thing lands in City Hall, and we are certainly willing to do that. Conditions that have been discussed or suggested range from what locations on campus. Would it be every building? Would it be outdoor spaces? What kind of hours, how many events in a given year, and perhaps most importantly, no bar. We have no intention of opening a bar on campus. This is to be used specifically for events that we hold, or if we rent space to an outside organization or an individual who's having a wedding reception, for example, would allow them to sell liquor. So that's the intent.
Mr. Chairman, certainly stand for questions. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Hennis, do you have anything in writing from this committee? I mean, because everything you talked about is not really in the legislation as is before us. So, and I wasn't on the committee last year, so I don't really know what the controversy was.
Mr. Hennis.
Do you have, like, a letter from them or anything?
I can Senator Pappas and Senators, I can provide that. We do have, we keep minutes of the committee's meetings. They meet on a monthly basis, and in February they did sign off on the support of the bill. The primary concern that a couple of neighbors expressed was what this would mean would we have significantly more events on campus now that we would have a license to sell. We don't believe we would. As you may be aware, we're opening a new student center next January, and people will be able to will use that, although the primary purpose of the building, again, is for students. But people will be able to rent a room. Or have dinners and that kind of thing, where there would be alcoholic beverages. But I can certainly I'll forward to the committee the letter of support that we received from our advisory committee.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair and Senator Gerlach, is this specific to St. Thomas only, or would this open it up to all other private schools like St. Olaf and St. Mary's and Gustavus?
Senator Chairman Willock. Senator Sparks, this is open to all of the nonprofits. Okay. I don't know if there's anybody else that wants to speak on either side of this issue, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any Senator Bonoff?
Mr. Chair, I just want you to know I support your bill.
Thank you.
Do you want to do your amendment first, or do you want?
Well, I just thought we'd close out the discussion on this one.
One more, Senator, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Senator Pappas. Just one more thought. This provision, though, is still subject. I just want to clarify. It is still subject to the license being issued by the local municipality.
Yes. Senator Gerlach.
You'd have to do the city council.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Well, is there anyone in the audience that wants to testify for this bill? Anyone against? All right, to your amendment.
Well, then, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A2 amendments. I don't know if this has been, we probably... Wait till you get that. I believe, is the map happen to be attached to that, or do members have this? It is attached to the amendment. Members, while that's being handed out, if I could just briefly explain this. This was an issue that was brought to me just a matter of just a couple of days ago. There wasn't time to do the introduction, and Senator Langseth also approached me on this and said that this would be something he would like to see happen for the city of Moorhead. And so I said, well, I think the best way to do this is it's since it's college-related, we could discuss this, make it as propose it as an amendment to this other college-related bill, and then go from there. So, members, this is what the situation is. We have, I didn't know this, but we have a current law that says that you cannot have... license. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jones. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to have somebody up and actually, because I might get the numbers wrong. I know it's 1,500 feet and such, and I certainly understand the map, but just so I don't get it wrong, we have to correct me. Why don't I have Mr. Goodnow maybe explain the background of this briefly and explain what the need is.
All right. Senator Gerlach moves the A2 amendment. Mr. Goodnow, state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Goodnow, and I represent the city of Moorhead on this matter. What we have in state law is a prohibition from the city of issuing a liquor license of any sort within 1,500 feet of a state university. Over the years, a number of the universities have come in for exceptions to that. I believe the only two universities that are left out there without an exception are Moorhead and Bemidji. What has been happening, and this is demonstrated on the map that was attached to the amendment, is that as the university has acquired property and expanded beyond its original campus, it's beginning the 15-foot buffer is beginning to encroach into commercial industrial areas. So if you look at the map, the blue square area is the existing campus. If you look at the rounded blue area, that's actually where the 1,500-foot boundary buffer goes to now. What this amendment would propose, and the brown circles are the CI, the commercial areas that do have some liquor establishments now. The proposal would bring the starting point for the 1,500-foot buffer to the original campus area, which is the red rectangle, and so it would restrict and be a fixed boundary for the state university. In my former days in Moorhead, I can recall now within the blue boundaries right now, and I can't attest to what's currently the current establishments that are operating, but I know of at least two liquor stores and a bar that used to be in those areas. So it is an area that would be open and potentially where we could locate that development if it were to take place in the future.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Gerlach or
whatever you want to call him.
Goodnow. Mr. Goodnow. Inside of the blue line, are there actual? I mean, the property is owned by the university. Is that correct? And inside the blue line, are there actual campus buildings or dormitories or anything like that?
Mr. Goodnow, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, the dormitories, all the residential facilities of the campus are within the red rectangle. The blue boxes outside of that are mostly parking lots, and there's a couple administrative buildings. I do know of one that's right across the street from the red line that has is a teaching center or a classroom space. But for example, the one in the upper left hand corner, that property up there is an old church that they've used for administrative purposes. That is the most problematic property because that shifts it right into the middle of a downtown area.
And members, if I could just explain briefly here, what's precipitated this when this was brought to me. My first reaction was, well, why do we even have this boundary at all? And I guess it's we want to keep these liquor establishments away from the college students because apparently they can't find them otherwise. I don't know, and we don't want them walking distance. And I guess apparently we'd rather have them drive. So I don't understand the public policy behind this at all. But I did run this past the chair of the higher ed committee, and I said, is this something you want to see? And she said, no, based on what the proposal is. And one of my reactions is, why do we have this boundary at all? But I'm not going to propose getting rid of that, because then I'm sure it would go to the higher ed committee. It becomes a much larger issue. I also thought that, what's precipitated this is the acquisition of this property, the outlier, right? This was a church that they bought.
That's one of the properties, yes.
One of the properties, the outlier buildings, and that sort of, sprawl of a campus, they buy a building, and then the boundary has to change, and then you have existing businesses. It makes no sense. What are you going to do, tell them to shut down because the university or the college bought a building? It made no sense. And so that's what this is, that's what's driving this. I also will tell you that, the language of the bill is less than ideal. It solves their problem, but it lays out actually in statute, not session law, but statute, particular street boundaries, which I think, I'll honestly tell you, I think is problematic because they're going to do some street construction or change something, and I don't like that. But again, this solves their problem, and we haven't had an enormous amount of time to work on this. And I thought, why can't we do something a little more universal by limiting it to a center, the dormitory area or something like that as the central point. So what I'm asking committee members to do is if we could include this, and I would like to try to come up with something that maybe is a little less clumsy statutorily, but also solves the problem, which I think we all agree needs to be solved. And that's what I would like to do, and also something that doesn't suck this into the higher ed committee as well. We just haven't had time to do that, but I wanted to make sure that everybody was up on the issue. And again, we'll be working on that, and before we vote on anything, it'll be back before the committee. So, members, that's the issue. I'll stand for any other questions, and I don't know if there's anybody in the audience that wants to speak for or against this.
Is there anybody in the audience for this or opposed? Seeing none, Senator Gerlach renews his...
We'd like to move with a vote to move the amendment into the bill.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Bonoff.
Senator Gerlach, I voted yes because I'm trusting that you are going to fix that because I don't want to see streets in the...
Right. And Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonoff, yes, and this isn't moving out of the committee. This is still going to be within our jurisdiction. Okay. We haven't voted to move it out yet.
Thank you.
And we'll revisit that.
Any more discussion on the bill as amended? Well, Senator Gerlach, then you, we're going to, I'm going to lay over Senate file 9118 as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus liquor bill. Senator Gerlach, are we going to recess now?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like, if you would, call for a recess and to reconvene at 5:30.
So with that, we will recess till 5:30. I've been told that there's sub sandwiches available somewhere nearby at 5:15.
Certainly for committee members and committee staff, absolutely.
With that, we're recessed. Thank you.